What's happening, everybody? We're back with another episode of the QB List Podcast. It's Brian and Mario here to dissect the Week 13 madness. Right? Week 13, Week 14? No, we're going into Week 14. Goodness, week 14. I cannot keep it straight. Folks, we're here to talk about your pre-fantasy football playoff weeks. Did you make it? Did you squeak in? Did you need a little Monday magic? Mario, how are you doing today?
Brian, I'm doing well, and that's because we're recording this before Monday Night Football, so the Eagles haven't disappointed me yet. I'm still bright-eyed and bushy-tailed that they can turn this around. And bright-eyed, bushy-tailed is appropriate. I don't know if you've seen, they have this positivity bunny in their locker room now. Oh, I'll send it to you. It's a giant inflatable rabbit they have.
Did they put it right next to AJ Brown's locker?
AJ Brown, listen, ever since the Twitch stream, he's back. That fixed the problems.
Yeah, fixed his problem. Didn't fix the Eagles' problem. Yeah, hopefully where you guys are listening to this podcast, getting to see just the offensive clinic that the Eagles put on, maybe some old Marion Hampton magic now that we have him back from IR. Not him. Regardless, though, we are here to talk about everything that happened on this Sunday, this week 13, this wonderful. It was a pretty good week. It was fun. It was exciting. I sweated out some playoff runs, hoping I finish off a few bye weeks in my my playoff runs. And then, of course, I had to watch a little heartbreak out there as my boys just. Yeah. I don't think the Colts get a ninth win. I don't know if we get another win this season.
Oh, man. What happened? Leading the AFC. I thought we'd talk about this in the injury breakdown because it's not only was the team injured, but so was your heart, was the playoff hopes. They also suffered a devastating season-ending injury.
Yeah, never mind. I don't want to talk about it. Let's talk about the booms, folks. As we do, we're going to start off here with the booms, the bust. We'll make it our way to the injuries, of course. And then if you still need plug-and-plays, if you have to figure out what to do, no more bye weeks. No more bye weeks. It's a positive, but just in case you need some players, we're going to go through the waiver wire at the end. But let's start off with the booms. Start us off, Mario.
Would love to. And this one, this is a familiar face we've seen up top, but I want to give him a special shout out because this guy's been kind of a stinker these last few weeks. Quarterback 13-22. You're getting shaky, but this is, you know, like you said, you're trying to squeak into the playoffs. This is why you drafted this guy early, round twos, round threes. Josh Allen, right now he's quarterback one. Just shy of 40 points, 37.8. Classic Josh Allen game where he's just pressing all the buttons, doing it all. Really good finish for QB1.
Yeah, four touchdowns overall. It's like I was watching this game from the Jag Stadium, just looking up there at the red zone they were playing, and all of a sudden I'm like, look at those fans having to sit there in all that snow as I bust out my poncho, and I was like, oh, I wish I was in the snow right now instead of this rain. But, man, Cincinnati, they had it. They were going to completely shake up the AFC picture. But, no, the Bills pulled off 39-34.
They did. Josh Allen, 78 rushing yards, season high.
I've got to talk about a quarterback for, well, this was quite the matchup. Teams putting up 60 points combined. Yes, I'm talking about the Cleveland Browns taking on the Tennessee Titans. Hey, this was, I mean, as all intents and purposes, like, NFL mock drafts this offseason, this was the number one and number two overall pick. This was Cam Ward v. Shedeur Sanders going at it. Shedeur Sanders, man, had himself a day, finishes in QB2 going into Monday night. Yep. 364 all-purpose or passing yards, 29 on the ground, 3 passing touchdowns, and a rushing touchdown to go with it. Looked pretty good out there, except for that two-point conversion at the end, but luckily he wasn't a part of that, so we don't have to blame him.
Which is so true. Like, we talk about the Cleveland Browns coach being coach of the year. This is a coach of the year move where you could go to win the game, to tie the game, and you purposely don't put your quarterback that's diamond and dish out there. Like, that was the 5D chess move. So classic Stefanski. But Shedeur, I mean,
took the number one pick from the Titans, too, by doing that. Or I guess they didn't take it, but just Titans no longer have control over it. It's going over there to your Giants.
To the Giants. Yeah, chestnut checkers. So credit to Cleveland, to Stefanski. But an absolute crazy one. 42 passing attempts. Something I did not expect to see in Cleveland.
Yeah, I didn't expect this much offensive action between these two teams. Way more.
I think it doubled the total. Like, what was the total going into this game? 34 and a half?
Yeah, I think so. Wild stuff. Also coming out of the Bills game, of course, Joe Burrow is going to be up here in the top 3-4 passing touchdowns, 284 yards. Sam Darnold coming in at QB4. Matt Stafford, 3 more passing touchdowns to be at 5. Tyler Shuck is turning into a candidate to potentially go into next year as the starting quarterback. Like, Saints might have enough to, like, be willing to go into next season with this. Kellen Moore bringing in some more, you know, some young pieces through the draft. Maybe some free agency if they have any money. But, yeah, number 6 for Tyler Shuck so far.
We'll see. He did have the 2 rushing touchdowns, so I definitely think that's inflating his fantasy value. But, listen, you get the points how you get the points in fantasy. So, grace for those super flexed errors. Yeah.
Lamar with the bounce back coming in as QB7. Happy to see that right as he gets the Bengals next week, first week of the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
Aaron Rodgers at 8, Dak at 9, J.J. McCarthy at 10, almost at 9, almost at 9.
Oh, I have him at 9 on my list. I have 9 at 9.
So Jordan Love at 11, and then Jacoby Brissett, of course. Could this be the first week he doesn't finish in the top 12 since he's taken over? Might be.
You know, it might be, because, again, this is before Monday Night Football. You have to think one of Hurts or Herbert gets in there. Something I didn't expect going into this season. If you had to ask me which division would have their quarterbacks all finish within the top 8 for a given week, the last choice I would have said was the AFC North. But Shador, Lamar Jackson, of course, you know, I expect. But Aaron Rodgers, Shador, and Joe Burrow, just crazy to see.
Wild stuff coming out of there, especially because at some point I kind of thought, like, maybe none of these teams make the playoffs at this point. You know, like, it's so bad.
Opting out.
Like, let's go over here to running backs. Give me your top running back play for the week.
Oh my goodness. It's gotta be this one, because this was an absolute blindside for me. But Tony Pollard, right? Like, we kind of talk about him every single waiver episode. We're like, oh, maybe it's Spears, maybe, like, who knows what's going on in Tennessee. He just waits until week 14 for 161 yards against who? Oh, the Cleveland Browns defense, probably the best defense in the NFL. So football just proving it does not make sense. But Tony Pollard, running back 2.
Oh, man. No one. I mean, I've been telling everybody, get him off your team for a while now. So it's greatness. Speaking of greatness, Blake Corum comes in a bit of a relief for Kyren Williams. 128 yards on the ground, 2 rushing touchdowns as well. The dude just got it done. Only 12 rushes. Absolutely eviscerated the Arizona Cardinals.
12 rushes, and he averaged over 10 yards a carry in those rushes. Like, it's crazy to see. Like you said, he's coming in relief, but it's like the relief pitcher is throwing, you know, 99 fastballs. It's like, this is not what I expected. Like, throw some softballs, please.
Yeah, because Kyren still had a good day. He finishes RB8, 84 rushes, or 84 yards on 13 rushes, 13 receiving yards as well, got himself a rushing touchdown. Not a bad day. Yep. Not a bad day.
Not a bad day. So you feel okay. For the Kyren managers out there, you see Blake Corum 3, you're pulling your hair out. You can rest easy knowing that Kyren was running back 8 as well.
Yeah, not to forget Jahmyr Gibbs. He is the consensus RB1 as of now. 43 rush yards, 77 receiving yards on 7 catches, and 3 touchdowns. You've also got Travis Etienne on as RB4, RJ Harvey. Finally had a good day on the ground here as he's taken over for J.K. Dobbins at 5, Chase Brown at 6, Devon Achane at 7, a little banged up though. So here comes Jalen Wright at RB9, 107 yards on the ground as well as a rushing touchdown. Josh Jacobs at 10, Bucky Irving at 11, and Devin Neal coming in at 12.
A lot of surprising names to me. Devin Neal 1, Jalen Wright, we'll talk about him going into the more injuries and pickups, but Miami with 2 guys in the top 9 is crazy to see. And Woody Marks is someone who's just outside. He's running back 13. But I'll say in the sit start episode, like we were talking about, we didn't want to touch a lot of players in that game. But credit to Woody Marks, he had 26 rushing attempts. We were kind of talking about, it's like, we need to decrease his workload. And they said, what if we just cranked it up to 11? So,
now, granted, they did give him 3 targets. So that's one of the increases I wanted was in the passing game. But good Lord, 29 total attempts for this guy. Or opportunities.
Workhorse.
Crazy.
Absolutely. Insane to see. And who do they play next week, by the way? The Arizona Cardinals that we just talked about got gashed by Blake Corum.
Sounds like another good one. Let's go to wide receivers here. Sprinkle on some magic for me. Who do you have?
Oh, this one. Michael Wilson. I have to talk about Michael Wilson, who just turns into prime Jerry Rice when Marvin Harrison is out. It makes no sense, like, just from a coaching standpoint, why this guy is invisible when Marvin Harrison's on the field. But when he's not, Michael Wilson just turns into a different Michael, right? Like, he's like Michael. So unbelievable to see. Two touchdowns. I believe he got his first touchdowns of the season this game. 16 targets, leading the league as far as I can see. Caught in 11 of them for 142 yards.
Baffling. Absolutely baffling. I just don't know what to think here as we're, like, hoping Marvin Harrison and Kyler don't come back. As we just, like, give me Brissett and Michael Wilson. That is what I want injected into my fantasy football playoff veins.
Yeah, who you got?
I really don't know here, because honestly, like, top five guys, all of them have two touchdowns. Like, do we talk about Puka Nacua at number one with seven catches, 167 yards, or two touchdowns? Do we talk about JSN and his now another game, 92 yards, seven catches, two touchdowns? Only two of his games this season have been below 90 receiving yards, one of which was 79. So, are we really going to balk at it? No. And then, you know, the 23 yards last week. But we're not talking about that. We're not talking about that. We're talking the fact a man that is at 1,428 yards, a guy that has nine touchdowns. Nine. Like, it's crazy. Is greatness through only 13 games.
And you have to think where his ADP was, right? Like, this was a round four kind of draft pick, right? Round four or five. And, yeah, he's been clearing away an MVP. At wide receiver five, I see Christian Watson, your boy.
Yeah, kind buddy! Of
a little bit of an outlier as I look at the targets and receptions for everybody in this top spot. You know, I'm seeing 11 targets, 16, 10, 11. Christian Watson with four. He just happened to catch two of them for touchdowns.
So, but you praise Blake Corum for having 12 catches for over 100, or 12 target touches for 100 plus yards. But when Christian Watson is super efficient on only four catches, we're going to, okay, come on. Come on, Christian. Look at that. Four catches, 9 yards, two touchdowns. He has been a machine since coming back from the ACL tear, nonetheless.
Yeah, and he's still available in over 50% of leagues, so.
Wide receiver 5, 12, 36, and 5 over the last month.
Not bad.
Not too shabby. God, it's great to see. Ryan Flournoy, really, the rookie there on Thursday night, 115 yards and a touchdown. I don't even want to talk about that because that's going to lead to George Pickens talk. DK Metcalf making a surprise up here at wide receiver 7, 7 catches, 148 yards. Oh, and joined by Zay Flowers there with 8 catches, 124. Haven't seen this guy's name since week one.
AFC North, offensive juggernaut of a division.
Ridiculous. Yeah, because Jerry Judy's down there at 11. So, like, let's just keep on sprinkling that AFC North. Just disgustingness. Tim Patchett comes in at wide receiver 9, Jalen Waddle at 10, and then CeeDee Lamb at 12.
I'll say out of all the things that, like, who's standing out, Tim Patrick is such a surprise to me. Just when we thought we figured out Jacksonville and who's getting the ball, who isn't, Tim Patrick emerges with six targets, five catches.
Yeah, 78 yards. I'm sitting there watching the game, and I'm like, okay, cool. That wasn't BTJ. I know that wasn't Jacoby Myers. That's not Parker Watt. Who is this catching?
No, Parker was
Tim Patrick. Multiple Tim deep Patrick. Catches. I'm like, what in the world is this 32-year-old man going out there? Craziness. Oh. I didn't realize he was 6'5". That's a big guy.
He is a big guy. I think that's the booms for me.
Yeah, that's about all I got for them. You want to go to tight ends?
Let's go to tight ends. And
sweet.
Number one guy. I'll take the number one guy. No, you know what? I'll mix it up. I'm going to go number three guy, Josh Oliver. Just keep it on this train of the Christian Watson-esque players. Two catches, two targets. Two touchdowns.
Okay, but that's we're playing play Christian ball. Watson. Nobody in their mom is playing Josh Oliver and his freaking two touchdowns on two catches. Nobody's playing a J.J. McCarthy pass catcher, much less the number two tight end on the team.
Unbelievable. No, but honestly, this whole week is a bizarro land. I'm also seeing Dawson Knox and Dalton Kincaid, both top six options for Buffalo.
Well, I mean, you saw who they played, right? They played the Bengals.
They played the Bengals. All of the Bengals get hemorrhage points to tight end. How did we forget that?
Yeah, all three of these tight ends were essentially usable. Dawson Knox, 6 for 7, 93 yards, and a 2-point conversion. Dalton Kincaid, 4 for 41 and a touchdown. And Jackson Hawes, yes, the third string tight end with a 3-yard touchdown catch.
Hawes got a touchdown.
Like, the Bengals, maybe they don't always give it to the one player, but they just give it up. Give it up. Like, never mind. There was a joke there, but we're going to slide right past that. And go to Harold Fannin, number one tight end on the week. 8 catches, 114 yards, and a give me that touchdown in the end zone. Just snagged it there in the back corner. I ranted and raved about Harold Fannin all offseason. I will say some of it might have been a little bitty. I was just having fun with it because I didn't imagine this guy would actually be a stud his first year. You know, it takes a couple of years, especially for the non-first-round tight ends. But this guy is giving me all the hope in the world that we actually could have a usable tight end position going into next year. Said every NFL, you know, all of these fans that we say each and every year. But dang, Harold Fannin, man, looks good out there.
Looks great out there. 11 targets. Looks like he leads all tight ends. I think he's going to be very real. He's rostered a little over 50%, but he's someone we are not talking about enough.
Mike Gesicki coming in as tight end two, probably be talked about in the waiver wire. When T. Higgins is out, Mike Gesicki is in. 6 catches, 86 yards on a touchdown. That was with T. Higgins, so just wait till next
week. That was with T. Higgins. That's a shocker to me.
Brock Bowers at 5. We got Kyle Pitts at 7. Colson Loveland at 8. Colby Parkinson back in there with a touchdown at 9. Isaiah Likely caught a touchdown, 25 yards. Like, should that touchdown in the end zone, was that a touchdown or not?
It was close. It was, I don't know if I could trust, like, don't we have replay assists for these things? I don't know. I don't know if I, like, hashtag NFL rigged. What's going on here with these tight ends, with these catches?
Yeah, I think it should have been, but it's fine. And then Trey McBride coming in at tight end 12. What a bum! 5 catches, 58 yards. No touchdown for Trey McBride. Like, what's going on here? Like, this is now 2 of 3 weeks hasn't scored one. Is like, should we be selling our Trey McBride stocks here?
Oh my gosh. Well, Michael Wilson was like, hey guys, I want to do more than just catch 15 balls. And like, all right, we'll give you some touchdowns.
Right. No freaking kidding. Brandon Aubrey coming in as our star kicker of the week, 24 points. And then Seattle, what a great defense they were.
Yeah, they continue to be terrific.
All right, you ready to get to these busts?
Let's
do it then. Quarterbacks, who you starting out with?
Quarterbacks. I mean, this one, I don't know if he's really a bust because someone on this podcast had the foresight that he would be not good this week. I was not that person, so I'll give him the buzz. But Patrick Mahomes, quarterback 23. I said, if your season is on the line, I don't care who they're playing, you start Patrick Mahomes. Thank goodness I don't have enough shares of Patrick Mahomes because I would have started him and I would have been screwed. Quarterback 23. And you have to imagine both guys on Monday night finish above him. So quarterback 25 is likely.
It was something we talked about. Houston has not given up a QB1 performance. So just assuming he was going to be up there was a hard pill for me to swallow. This bad QB25, that is not getting you into the playoffs with those kind of numbers.
No, it was probably far and away the worst performance in quite a while. And the Chiefs, they're not going to win the division. It's a fit, like they cannot win their division this year. So that streak's coming to an end.
It's so interesting. I can't. At the same time, like some of these like big juggernaut teams that might not make the playoffs, it's also I'm going to look at the playoffs and see teams like the Chargers. Now, I like the Chargers. I like rooting for them. They've got some great pieces, but
like
they don't deserve, maybe deserve isn't the right word, but they shouldn't be going to the AFC Championship. They shouldn't be going to the Super Bowl just because they're not, you know, like we could
not
have
the
dark horse. We could have two dark horses going into the Super Bowl. That's not necessarily what you want. Yeah, it's fun to see new teams win, and I'll give you that, depending, I guess, on who the dark horse is. But, like, Brady got too many of these years. Like, when you play the Jags in the AFC Championship and Brady just gets to walk to the Super Bowl, that's not what I want to see. I don't want to see – I don't know. Like, is Josh Allen going to get the Super Bowl because nobody else has their lives figured out and he's just going to be able to get through a couple – I don't know. Way too early, but it's just, I'm excited.
It sounds like, this is just Blake Bortles slander. And it's like, I know the Jaguars just hurt you so bad yesterday, but we don't need to take
Bortles
it out on Blake
kick
Bortles.
Rocks. God, ruining my happiness. No, I'm happy they had some success, the Jags. That's a hard thing to be a Colts fan. Like, I kind of don't mind rooting for the Jags. And like, honestly, I had fun in Jacksonville getting heckled by all the fans, the Duvals. Now, by the fourth quarter, when I'm wet, I'm miserable, my quarterback's done, my season's over, and the six-year-old's looking over at me yelling Duval, I almost smacked him with this popcorn bin. But I didn't. I didn't. I refrained.
Premature of you.
And I didn't smack a child. I made the adult choice as the adult I am.
There we go. But
God, Duval was getting so tiring there, man.
Oh, I can't imagine.
I'm going to go with Baker Mayfield for my disappointment. Coming in at QB 18, we had a few other disappointment outings, but it was kind of injury related, so I won't pick on that too much. Give me Baker Mayfield. Only 122 passing yards, 42 rushing. This is a guy who's excited to have Mike Evans back next week.
Desperately. And it's going to be a short week. They play on Thursday, so hopefully he can get a little bit better. And yeah, Mike Evans should be back next week, so hopefully that helps, because this team, they're kind of a bummer to watch. I hate to say it, but losing to the Saints, who pictured that?
Ooh, oh, God. That felt trappy. Yeah. Running backs, give me your bummers.
Quite a few running backs disappointed, I'll say, this week. This one I want to start with, though. Chris Rodriguez Jr. for Washington, running back 37 at the time of recording. He was just someone, maybe we started him a little too early. Like, the matchups do get better after this. He's going at Giants, Philly, Dallas, like, good matchups, but I was really expecting this to be a better game. He just put up 10 hosting Denver. I figured at Minnesota has to be at least double-digit performance. Gets 5 points. Really disappointing. Yards per attempt were good, 5.2 yards. It's just he only had 10 attempts and no touchdown.
Wow, Washington legitimately gets 4 divisional games left. Giants, Philly, Dallas, Philly. If it wasn't bad for them going into this last month, it is now.
Doesn't get easier.
Yeah, he's got some great matchups going forward. So it's enticing checking out Chris Rodriguez. But if Jane Daniels is going to miss more time, who knows what that situation is. It's hard to trust in the playoffs.
Yeah, it becomes a bummer of a situation.
I got a couple guys back-to-back here. Bam Knight looks like he might officially be taking over this backfield for the rest of the season. Comes in at RB 39, just 4.9 points. And Ashton Jeanty, RB 40, 38 total yards. Kind of sucks.
Yeah, that's someone that's like, get him out of there. Like, just for his sake, for fantasy sake. And to be honest, just to continue this streak right after him is Breece Hall is running back 41. It's 43 yards on the ground, no catches.
Let's follow it up. We got Ken Walker at 47. Isaiah Pacheco at 50. This just keeps getting bad, people.
Yeah. These are all people that I would expect to have good outings, and they're just Aaron Jones is another one. Like, he was running back 30. He had 14 carries. He just couldn't do anything with it. He's one behind Tyler Algier. I guess he was another one that I almost missed, but Bijan Robinson, running back 26. You know, he's been kind of killing it these last few weeks, just living in the end zone. You know, he expected maybe a little bit of a regression to the mean, but not all the way at 26. That hurts a little.
Yeah, 20 for 86 on the ground, and then only 2 catches for 8 receiving yards. One of his only one other game worse than that receiving wise. He's been pretty good through the air this year.
Yep.
Wide receivers.
Wide receivers. Oh, I mean, do we even talk about Justin Jefferson anymore? Like, is it even a bust at this point? Yeah. I mean, he's no longer a first time caller. He's living down here. He was wide receiver 88 last week, 76 as of now. So I'll pick on someone else. I'll pick on Olave. We talk about it. Shuck had a great day, right? He was quarterback 6, I believe it was. But it was the 2 rushing touchdowns, no passing touchdowns. That's really going to hurt a guy like Chris Olave, who only had 5 targets, his second lowest of the season.
Wild stuff. A few guys that we have right outside of RB or wide receiver 3s, all 38 or higher. Xavier Worthy, it's about done with that. I feel like this year that experience is about over. So 3 for 55. George Pickens comes in at wide receiver 39. Terry McLaurin, 41. Rashee Rice at 44. And then Devontae Adams at 46.
Yeah.
No touchdown. Not when Puka's getting 2 of them.
Nope. And not when Corum gets 2. Kyrum gets 1. Yeah, left out finally.
Yeah, not too bad across the board. I mean, A.D. Mitchell, 1 for 24. Nice bounce back the way, you know, after he gave people hope and excitement there. Just absolutely burned you if you pivoted away from some of these bye week players to him.
That stinks. Yeah, he was someone that really stuck out to me. Troy Franklin was someone we used to talk about.
There it is.
Yeah. Troy Franklin. All right. Listen, we'll never forget his wide receiver 1, 25, 20. We had some good times, but since the bye, wide receiver 75 and 69. And he's tough matchups going rest of schedule. Green Bay, Jacksonville, Kansas City. Oh, yeah. I think we're done with Troy Franklin experiment, but it was fun.
Yeah, he was, what, fourth in targets this game? You know, R.J. Harvey had 6 targets. Sutton had 10. Pat Bryant is getting more and more involved. He had 4 targets as well as Troy Franklin. Oh. Wow. A total of 10 targets went to the running backs this week. This is the Sean Payton that I was projecting at the beginning of the season. This is what I thought we were going to get. Some more involvement, but like, no, never mind. Never mind. We're saving the rants and the right ends after the season. We're going to be ranting. Yes, let's go to tight ends.
We need some postseason content. Tight end, guy who disappointed me, Mark Andrews, buddy. Oh, you have 5 targets. I love to see that. Caught one of them 9 yards. If he's not catching a ball in the end zone, he ain't catching a ball. And we talked about it, like, likely was the guy that was getting looked at. So, and Mark Andrews just got paid. That was the other thing, right? Like, does that matter? Maybe that's why he's phoning it in. Tough to say.
But Tyler Warren.
Oh, yeah.
Tight end 28 as of now. 2 catches, 16 yards. Is Tyler Warren droppable for the playoffs? Now, when I say that, I don't mean just rage dropping. You're mad, you're upset, you're just dropping them for the hell of it. But, like, if you've got another viable piece, like, the 4 of his last 5 games, it's been 15, 22, 45, 26 yards. Only 1 touchdown in that time. And that was with Daniel Jones, with the struggling offense. Now you're putting a potential rookie, Riley Leonard, back there. He's a little banged up, so who knows? It could be Brett Rippon out there. Like, it's bad. I need Joe Flacco to get cut tomorrow. Oh my gosh.
What about Tony Rich? Is he healthy or is he still
hurting? He's still in IR. He's got the broken eye socket from messing around with the freaking resistance band.
Oh, that's a baseball injury. Yeah, yeah. To answer your question, I think I would drop Warren. I think especially now more than ever, you want to be really aggressive. I like to be really aggressive with whether it's defensive matchups. So in some leagues, I'm rostering 2-3 defenses. Warren's the exact kind of player I would kind of drop almost as like a grenade, right? Like, let someone else deal with them. Kind of similar to a Mark Andrews. Admittedly, I dropped Brian Thomas Jr. in a league. And of course, he has one of his better games of the season. But listen, let someone else get that hope. And then in the following week, when he has a wide receiver 40 finish, and I'm starting a matchup with a defense with an excellent matchup, I feel good about that. And
crazy stuff. Crazy stuff.
It's crazy stuff. One other tight end I wanted to mention, because it's a very similar stat line to Mark Andrews, who had 5 targets, 1 catch for 9 yards. Another tight end had 5 targets, 1 catch, but for 8 yards. Travis Kelce. Travis Kelce, sometimes beating Father Time, couldn't this week. Wide tight end, 47.
Yeah, that one hurt me. That one hurt my wallet, if we're being honest. That one really hit me hard. Darren Waller, 1 catch, 13 yards. We saw Greg Dulcich stay involved with this team, so it's going to kind of just cannibalize both of each other. Dulcich was 3 for 41. Put it together, you've got a decently usable day, but if you're splitting this tight end work between the two of them, I just, like, Waller's got such an amazing schedule. Pittsburgh, Cincinnati, Tampa Bay for the playoffs, but I don't know if you're going to be able to take advantage of it if they're going to be splitting work.
No, the only one is maybe Cincinnati, just because we've seen teams that utilize both tight ends, right? Like, we've seen Baltimore, everybody look good. We just saw with Buffalo, everybody look good. So I think that's the only matchup I would trust him.
Yeah, you could see one guy get a touchdown, the other one have 70 yards, and I wouldn't be surprised at all.
Nope.
Nice. Any other stinkers you want to bring up?
No. That's it. Cool. Move on.
Let's go to the injuries. I mean, not to take away from anything, but Tyrod Taylor, groin injury, left the game. We got no Garrett Wilson. Like, does it really matter that much? Not the injury, but just as far as fantasy, though, like, I don't know. The Jets are just kind of left for dead at this point.
Yeah, the only Jet we like starting was Breece Hall, and now I don't even think you like starting him. But we'll get to that in the sit start later this week.
Yeah, I've got a chance to see him in Grand Theft Auto League. I don't even know if I want him.
I don't even know if you want him. And just staying kind of Jet adjacent, Geno Smith, he has a shoulder injury all of a sudden. I don't know what they're going to do in Vegas.
Aiden O'Connell, I believe he's been a little injured. He might be coming back, so we might get some action from him. I think either way, it's just Brock Bowers, and I don't know if it's a downgrade or an upgrade leading from that. So I think it's just hopefully he checks down to Ashton Jeanty. That's all you're really hoping for at this point.
Maybe we see another Michael Wilson effect.
Right. Devon Achan, folks, this one hurts. He has been just the model of consistency. Left the game early, still gave you top-end performance, but this one really needs to be monitored. It's running to the waiver wire to go pick up his backup.
Yep, Jalen Wright, I believe.
Oh, Devon Achan, that one stinks. What else we got?
Yeah, I mean, this one hurts. Former Eagles legend Zach Ertz, you saw kind of a dirty looking hit. You know, it looks like, I believe, a flag was called immediately afterwards and had to get carted off. But Zach Ertz tore an ACL with that low hit to the lower part of his legs. Pretty sure he's done for the season, maybe for his career. He's not a spring chicken and tore an ACL. Really sad to see.
And not that you want to see his career end that way, but hey, Ben Sinnott, we are waiting for this guy, the backup tight end there, to get a shot. Zach Ertz,
let the dirt settle on his grave. He's 35. Oh my
goodness. I'm surprised he came back for this season. He was doing he's tight end 10 on the season, which I didn't realize. He's only had a few top end performances. Zach Ertz, you've been great. You've done us well for fantasy. If this is the end, we appreciate your service and go kill it on TV.
Yeah, we'll miss you.
CD Lamb. Got a pair of concussions.
Yeah. Mm. Yep. Okay. CD Lamb, that was on Thursday, so admittedly I had forgotten about it because Thursday's a lifetime ago.
He probably did too.
NFL world.
Too much.
Just something about these NFC East guys. You're just taking these jabs at them. But T. Higgins also, this came up out of nowhere on Monday, T. Higgins. Like, he seemed to look fine in the game, but the Monday concussion popped up, so I expect him to miss this week now.
Yeah, this will be his second one in the month. Like, I don't believe he's got a history of concussions, but at the same time, they just re-upped a deal for him. They're not really playing for anything, so I don't see why he should play. Let him sit for the next 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. These things aren't good. You don't want to deal with them. You know the long term issues of it. So, T. Higgins, rest up, buddy. Get your head right. Jamar Chase, Kosicki. That's the way we ride.
That's how we ride. And just speaking of guys kind of coming back, Mike Evans sounds like we kind of alluded to it, but he should be playing next Thursday, which is absolutely crazy. I don't think he's getting his 1,000-yard season, but listen, can Baker make it happen? I don't know. 200
Baker
yards
says,
a game.
Hold my beer.
Listen, we'll get to sit start later this week, but I might plummet him in the lineup.
Yeah, because what's he at? He's at 140. So he needs what? 860? 860
yeah,
across so four games, huh?
Four games. So like 220, like, I mean, 205, 210 a game. 215 a game.
I think he could do it. I think he can do it. Let's
my
see.
Fantasy team thinks
I'm can. Betting on it. I'm going to put, I wonder what the over under is on that.
Oh, gosh. Someone help this man.
Right. Daniel,
Boots on the ground,
Jones.
Brian.
Yeah, he had a broken left leg, left fibula, whatever the hell it's called. Yeah, he tore his other legs, Achilles. It's just non-contact. The moment it happened, like, the entire stadium groaned. It just, like, the sky opened up and just the rain dumped down. Pretty sure there was a middle finger pointing at the Colts bench. Like, it's just, this just missed out on probably close to $100 million. Like,
yeah.
I don't know if he ever gets a huge deal ever again. Like, he could get a multiple, like, prove-it deals over the next 2-3 years. Like, I feel bad for him. I feel bad because he went out there and left it all out on the field.
Truly. And I don't think it's going to be like a Kevin Durant situation where I think he tore his Achilles, like, leaving Golden State, and then the Nets signed him anyways. Cause it's like, hey, it's Kevin Durant. Like, we'll take this future Hall of Famer. Daniel Jones, I love the guy. I don't know if he's going to get that same respect coming off the Achilles.
And just the quarterback market is just doo-doo going into this year. It's like, not it's Aaron Rodgers is highlighting
Aaron Rodgers, Darnold,
class.
Like, yeah. It's,
no, Darnold's, he's got one more year on his contract. I think it was a
two or three year deal
he signed.
It's a 2-year deal? Okay.
Yeah, he'll still be there. It's not good what we're looking at for the free agency.
Geno? I don't think anybody even wants Geno.
Well, he'll be under contract. I mean, he could get cut at this point, but it's Daniel Jones, Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson, Marcus Mariota, Tyrod Taylor, Joe Flacco, Kyler Murray, potentially.
Kyler Murray is the hot ticket.
Who's the Mac Jones? I've heard that, you know, possibly teams could be trading for Mac Jones from San Francisco. And the Colts don't have two first-round picks the next 2 years, so it's fine. It's fine, folks.
Oh, yeah. Sauce can throw the ball.
Well, we were worried he tore his Achilles last week. Goodness.
Damn.
Yeah, so we will be holding tryouts for quarterback this week.
Oh.
Marky Mark, good luck. If you're looking to make another Disney movie, we're down. We'll bring you in. Joe Papali, thing.
I'll see you on the field, Brian.
Yeah, no kidding. Any other injuries you got for this week?
No, those are the main ones. Achan, it did sound like he left the game. He didn't return, but I did see a report that he said he would have came back if he needed to. But definitely want to monitor this week. Let's get to waivers. You know, like, what are we monitoring for?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. What do we need for the waiver wires this week?
So we'll stay with the running backs. I want to give a shout out to Blake Corum because, one, he is handcuffed, like premium handcuffed. So we love him there. Last two finishes, the carries haven't been crazy. I mean, before this week was 7, 7, and 8, but just looking at the bigger picture, he's had, ever since week 7, it really opened up. Like week 6 and earlier in the season, like 5 was about his average. But then since week 7 onward, we've seen 12, 13, 13, 12 again this week. Yeah, tough two matchups coming up, Detroit and at Seattle. But Detroit's just going to be a game. I feel like the Rams are going to pull out all the stops, right? The weird plays, the gadget plays. So if there's anything designed for Blake Corum, I wouldn't be shocked to see it there. It is just a scarier matchup.
Yeah, I agree with that one. Chris Rodriguez wasn't great, but we did talk about he's got a great schedule upcoming. I do like him playing against the Giants. We'll find out officially because Trey Benson has until Wednesday to officially get activated, but if not, it's going to be Bam Knight's backfield. Do you play Houston? Don't love that.
Do not love that. But Woody Marks shows it's possible.
That's true.
Or not Woody Marks, Kareem Hunt.
Oh, sorry, wrong side.
Yeah, yeah.
Devin Singletary coming off a bye. We saw a decent game from him right before they went into the bye week. They play Washington this week. Jalen Wright, Ollie Gordon. We're keeping an eye on that.
Yes, that's a big one as well. Just as far like as the exactly. Just as far as the A-chain, and I'll say even like I may preemptively, right, because we may not have news by the time the waivers process. If you're – I don't mind in any situation if you could just put the – I would like put the fab on Jalen Wright or Ollie Gordon. It seemed like Jalen Wright had the better day and 24 rushing attempts. That's what you like to see. So even if at the time, like going into Tuesday night, Wednesday morning, I would push some chips in on that fab for Wright.
Yeah, Jalen Wright, I think it's been more fab on Ollie Gordon. I think you can get away with just a dollar or two. Ollie Gordon, if they do split it up, he's probably going to be more of the goal line back. Jalen Wright, they spent multiple draft picks. I think it was 2 third-round picks, one from the year they drafted him and then a future to move up to get him. So they are invested in this player. So I do like both these options. Other flex options you have, of course, Samaje Perine against Baltimore. Bashaul Tuten wasn't great this past game. It was ugly, though, just with the rain. We saw that fumble. And then Tyler Algier. Didn't get the touchdown this week, but I'm sure it'll come this next week against Tampa.
Did you get some Tuten merch while you were in Jacksonville?
I didn't. I was too upset and depressed and underneath my poncho, so I didn't want to get my hands all wet. You know.
I figured maybe like a little bobblehead to bring home.
I should have.
A little toot-toot.
Keaton Mitchell, I also think can be looked at against Cincinnati this week. Cincinnati's one of the easiest matchups. Derrick Henry, you know, they're loading him up. So I think Keaton Mitchell is going to be eating just a little bit more as we've seen Justice Hill go to IR.
Yeah, and especially just kind of seeing what they need to do to get into the playoffs, right? Like it kind of felt like they were dead. Then it seemed like it was a gimme. They'd win this division. And now who knows? So I would, again, another situation I wouldn't be surprised if they kind of get creative in the bag and Keaton Mitchell gets some more work.
Mm-hmm. Any other running backs you have?
No, I'm going to jump to wide receiver, and I'm going to say Christian Watson, someone who has 5 touchdowns in the last 4 games. The targets aren't my kind of targets. 4, 5, 7, and 10. I really like those 10 and 7s, but in the 7, he didn't have a touchdown, funnily enough. And in the ones with 5 and 4, he had 2 touchdowns. So it almost, the fewer targets, the more times he scores. He's an anomaly, but listen, I would love him in my flex spot right now. Like, he, the upside he's providing is out of this world.
Well, let's go ahead and stay in the NFC North then. I'm going to go with Luther Burden. This past week, we've got the Roma Dunze missing the week. He's got that stress fracture in his foot. Burden led the team in targets with 6, 4 catches and 67 yards, another 3 yards on the ground. He just looks like a guy you want to put the ball in his hands. I'm incredibly excited for, I mean, the playoffs, yes, but just this player's role going forward. So Luther Burden is somebody I'd be willing to pick up and play going into the playoffs.
Yeah, I agree. Especially, we'll see, because you saw how bad DJ Moore looked. We'll see Adunze. Here's a question going to the AFC South. So, you know, I like your opinion on this. Chimere DK, 10.9 points last week. Pretty solid in the shootout against Cleveland. 2 weeks ago, wide receiver 9 on the season. So absolutely terrific. But sandwiched in between week 13, he finished as wide receiver 158 with negative 0.6 points. So is he someone we can trust, or are we just avoiding Tennessee?
I think this week, week 15, would be the only week you would trust him. He's playing against San Francisco,
so it's not a
terrible matchup. San Francisco cannot get pressure on the quarterback ever since the Nick Bosa injury, so maybe that will give Cam Ward a little bit more time to make some magic. But after that, Kansas City, New Orleans, number 6, number 7 against wide receivers. Yeah. So if you need a plug-and-play this week, go for it. But if you need a plug-and-play this week, you're probably hurting. You're limping into the playoffs. So all bets are off at that point.
Yeah, that's a really good point. Let's
go back to North. You're trying to make me leave the Great North too soon. Talk about Jaden Reed. You brought up Christian Watson, the number one for the Packers. Jaden Reed deserves to be looked at. We've seen fantasy results come from him. There is the whole, you know, he's the Josh Down of the Packers, where he's not always out there on 2 wide receiver sets, and that's kind of been his issue. But for, you know, his first game back, 47% of the snaps, generating 31 yards on the 4 catches, 22 yards on 2 carries, so not too shabby. You know, you can do a lot worse, and if you want to bet on the Packers and bet on Jordan Love, Jaden Reed's definitely the way you do that.
I love that call, because Jaden Reed's honestly my preferred wide receiver there. It just, like I said, Watson keeps getting these stupid end zone looks. Reed, I'll have to double check what his availability is, but from what I've seen in the leagues I'm in, a lot of players just held on to him when he was on his IR stint. So I'm not sure what his availability is, but I like Reed a lot as a player.
41 on Yahoo.
Okay, yeah, that's our numbers.
Should be able to go pick him up.
And you're hopping to the north. I'm going back to the south, damn it. And I'm going to talk about Alec Pierce, who's still, from what I'm seeing, not rostered in over 50% of league. Is he at 46? So a little bit of wiggle room. He, you know, the first game after the bye was very disappointing, wide receiver 66. But the two before the bye, wide receiver 15, 14. And now since the bye, wide receiver 13. And in a tough matchup at Jacksonville, you kind of already talked about how tough that matchup is, wide receiver 22. After that, it gets a little tricky with week 17 is at Jackson or hosting Jacksonville. So tough matchup in the finals, but he might be able to get you there with at Seattle and San Fran in between.
I don't know.
Oh no, but the quarterbacks are, oh no, Daniel Jones. Oh,
yeah, no. That's the big issue. Now I will say Riley Leonard went out there and had a few decently good throws. Didn't look terrible. Looked like he could move the offense a bit. That maybe they won't be just a 3-and-out machine. I don't know. Man. I am scared out of my mind. I don't want to play him this week. A, it's the matchup against Seattle. B, we don't know the quarterback situation. I want to see it. And then at that point, maybe you're playing him in the semis. Like, Alec Pierce, he's not droppable. Like, I'm not rage dropping him. But, like, Pittman and Warren, I'm willing to look away. And Pierce might be, too.
So, even though we just talked about the quarterback situation, I had forgotten. I was just blinded by the green I see on his player page.
Yeah, blinded by the lights. Wrapped up like, you know, that's just how it works.
The Colts, Brian, the Colts are bumming me out.
I'm so sorry they're bumming you out there, Mario. God, I'm sending a letter there to Lady Ursae to see if she can get that fixed.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate
goodness.
It.
Oh, just keep me while I'm down here.
All right. I'm going to move to the North again. NFC North. Isaac Tesla? Tesley?
Tesla? I can't keep up. Yeah.
Yeah, I always want to say Tesla. But listen, just looking at his last two games, wide receiver 28, 24. Got some good momentum going forward. One just big problem is if you thought I didn't like Christian Watson, I mean, this guy, three targets, two targets, one target. He's capped out at three targets and almost always gets just the one. It's just he's gotten touchdowns in these last two. So is he's looking touchdown or bust the more I see him.
Yeah, four. He's got eight catches on the season, four of which are touchdowns. This isn't That's anything I want to bet on. This isn't give me who Alec Pierce before I go to Tesla.
Who is, I think it was on the Titans last year. Now he's on the Miami, who just live in the end zone.
How do you forget him? He was your guy. Nick Westbrook. I know he was my guy. Come on. Where's he at?
Nick Westbrook Akina. He's in Miami now, I believe. I knew his career path. I forgot.
I took him in Scott Fish just on the off chance that we got more touchdown magic.
I love it.
We did not, in case you guys
know. No, we did not. And yeah, I think this guy isn't either. Okay. I think
wide receivers are hard at this point. Jalen Coker is a possibility you can look at. Jaden Higgins has been. Pretty steady as far as the floor. A.D. Mitchell, I'm willing to go back to this week. They're at Jacksonville.
That's an ugly matchup. We don't know about the quarterback. Right, because Tyrod?
True. Yeah, I guess.
If you're going to do that to my Colts, to the Colts wide receiver, I'm excited about.
I guess I'm just going deep. DK falls in that. Slayton. Pat Bryant's been getting more use of late. But, folks, these are names that, you are hurting if you're having to look at the Jack Besh, the Trey Tuckers, the Devon Vele. I feel sorry if this is where you're at.
Yeah, but you really bummed me out with this Alec Pierce thing.
Nice. You want to go to quarterbacks?
Yeah, quarterbacks. So I think, two big names, right? That we covered in the top 10. Can we trust Shador and then Tyler Shuck with his second? With the second decent game in the last couple of weeks, so wherever you want to start between those two,
Shador's got one of the best remaining schedules. He plays Chicago 28th against the position, Buffalo's 10th, and then Pittsburgh's 27th. The only person that's got a better schedule is Tua and JJ McCarthy. These got all they're playing the 32nd, 25th, and 26th, and then 27th, 31st, and 29th. Bottom six teams.
That is bad.
Three of their matchups are bottom six. Do we trust them? Do we look that direction?
I don't think I could. I don't think I could on Sanders or Shock. I think they're both kind of rage bait.
Bo Nix plays Green Bay, who is the fourth worst matchup for quarterbacks. Kansas City is the eighth worst in the championship, and then they got Jacksonville in the middle.
And you don't like Jacksonville.
Justin Herbert plays Kansas City and Houston in two of the three games. He does get Dallas in the semis. But, those are rough games, man.
They are. I think right now, if there's a quarterback, if for whatever reason, we say it every single week, but Jacoby Brissett, and I'll say right now he's quarterback 12. So again, this is before Monday night, so you have to imagine he doesn't finish as a quarterback one this week, but still a terrific week, 20 points. Better than his week 12 where he was quarterback 8. He had 18 points just, with the more bye week. So I like it. Oh, but Jacoby Brissett gets Houston next week. We can't start him there.
Yeah, that one's rough. Honestly, Brock Purdy's owned in most leagues. But, folks, if somebody dropped him coming out of the bye, he is just magic. His final remaining games as well. Tennessee, who's 23rd. Indianapolis, 21st. And Chicago's 28th. A set it and forget it quarterback may not exactly win it for you in all three of those games, but I don't think he's going to lose it for you in any of them as well.
Yeah, and I think that's kind of what you're looking for. Just kind of comparing him to other high availability, someone like Tua or Geno Smith, I would not like either of those two.
Yeah, Marcus Mariota is somebody you could look at as well, just with Jaden Daniels potentially missing another game multiple weeks. Who knows? They say it's not season-ending for him, but
what are they doing at this point?
Yeah, it's getting gross. They play the Giants and Dallas two of the next three games, so very good matchups for quarterback.
Tight end magic.
Tight ends. Any other quarterbacks? Yeah, let's go to them tight booties. Which what do we got?
I mean, number one, probably my number one waiver target, if available, would be Harold Fannin Jr. We are just seeing he has Shador's trust. Tight end is such a finicky position, but Fannin Jr. right now, tight end one, I imagine that's going to stick. Then tight end 10, 16. These last three games, he's been electric. 11 targets, 5 targets, 6, 5, 7. So a consistent high volume of targets. He's getting these results. He had 114 yards. Again, like this was probably going to be the outlier of his best game, but I expect double digits for the rest of the season with him.
Yeah, he's just seeing too many targets for you to be like truly disappointed in what he gives you. Just such a high floor. So I'm completely on board. If you haven't picked up Fannin, if he's still floating out there just because of doubters on him, the team, the quarterback, yeah, Harold Fannin needs to be owned.
Yeah, Harold Fannin and someone else who maybe got dropped because of one bad week. The believers became doubters. That's me. But Colby Parkinson, you know, he had three straight games with a touchdown. The streak did have to break at Carolina. Maybe some people dropped him. I was one of them. But then he immediately silences those haters at Arizona, gets another touchdown. Got a pretty decent schedule these next two. Detroit and then at Seattle. Week 17 at Atlanta is a bad matchup for tight ends, but Colby Parkinson, he's rostered in 3% of leagues. So if you're in a deeper league, or even if you're not, I'll say if you don't get Fannin, Parkinson's someone I'm interested in.
Yeah, I might need Parkinson's to want to play him, but I get where you're going. I get the route.
Damn. I'm just looking. Listen, tight ends tough. Like, okay, let's pivot a little bit. The two Buffalo guys both feasted. Is it because they're legit or because they played Cincinnati?
Absolutely Cincinnati. I don't believe Dawson Knox has been over 37 receiving yards until this past game because I thought about flexing him the week before. That's why I'm willing to go to Isaiah Likely. 6% rostered. He's playing Cincinnati. I get it. Oh. Mark Andrews is there, got the extension. But last time, Isaiah Likely was the guy. Even dropped a touchdown through the end zone. Would have made it just an incredible day for him. So Isaiah Likely, I think you can do a lot more. I'd pivot to Isaiah Likely over Tyler Warren this week.
I think you're absolutely right. Yeah, great matchup at Cincinnati. Double 10 points in the last two games, his two best games of the season. I could see him having another terrific one here. And then you kind of go from there. You figure out what you want to do versus New England and Green Bay.
AJ Barner, if you're down bad, I think he's got a really good schedule going forward. He plays Indianapolis, the Rams, and Carolina. All are bottom third against the tight end position, Indianapolis being a bottom four team. So I think you can you're looking for a crazy streamer. It's there. And then, of course, Brenton Strange. We see him continuously be involved in this offense. He gets the 20th, 23rd, and 27th ranked defenses against tight ends going forward. So, again, bottom third all three games. I don't know if he necessarily could give you elite top three finishes each and every week, but he could fall anywhere in that tight end one, I think, each and every week as well.
I agree. He was someone I was very interested in because this one was a bad one, but you talked about it, the downpours. He still had six targets. He had his second highest targets of the season, just he only caught three of them. Mm-hmm. So you can maybe chalk that up to the rain. Yeah, Strange is someone I like, but there's definitely a lot of interesting options, right? Between the Likelys, the Fannin Juniors. Gesicki, we also talked about earlier in the show, but especially if Higgins misses.
Colson Loveland, I think it's a without Roma Dunze, I like him a lot more, but he's a shot you can take. Darren Waller against Pittsburgh's putrid against the tight end. Not as bad as Cincinnati, but they're definitely up there. Theo Johnson coming off of the bye week, getting Jackson Dart going against Washington. I think he's a risky option as well.
Yeah, I'd consider him riskier, but listen, if that's what you got, that's what you got.
And I think that's about all the tight ends. We don't need to go that deep, folks.
No, we do not need to go that deep. We can talk defenses real quick.
Let's talk some defenses. Toss some out at me.
So my number one defense for next week, and I apologize, I don't have the roster percentage in front of me, so I'll need your help on that. But number one, I'm going to say, is going to be the Eagles. We haven't seen them play yet on Monday Night Football, and we know that Jalen Carter is going to miss at least a couple games. But they're playing the Raiders next week. We already talked about Geno Smith. We don't know what's going on with his health. it just feels like a beautiful get right spot for that Eagles defense. So they're my far and away number one. Of course, the 49ers I like because they're playing the Titans, but I think the 49ers are rostered in a good percent.
24%. Yeah, Eagles, okay. I was able to pick up the Eagles yesterday in a lot of my leagues.
Yeah, that was – I did the same thing in a couple.
Just like they were dropped because of the couple matchups they had, and knowing having them for next week would be great. This one seems wild because the Seahawks, from where I'm looking, are the number one defense. They're also only 25% rostered.
That's crazy.
Yeah, having scored 20 points and 32 points over the last 2 weeks against Atlanta and Minnesota, they get Indianapolis this week.
And
I don't care
about
who the quarterback is. I'm willing to put them out there safely as a streaming defense. So Seattle Seahawks definitely up at the top of my list.
I love it. Yeah, that's actually a great thing. I think that could even be someone you're starting to look ahead, like kind of like we do with Tennessee. Like we talked about, the Saints play Tennessee week 17. Who's playing the Colts week 16, week 17? And we could start picking up those defenses. It looks like it's the 49ers play them week 16. And then the Jaguars playing week 17. And the Jaguars have also been a really good defense.
Turnover City in Jacksonville. So, yeah, I think Jacksonville's a great call out there, too.
And Jacksonville, this upcoming week, week 15, they're playing the Jets. And we already talked about what's going on with Tyrod. So Jacksonville could be a great option for weeks 15 and 17. And then you just have to look ahead a little bit who's going to be your 16. And we kind of talked about it at the top of the show. Like, I think right now we're at the point of the season where you can drop a Tyler Warren for a second, for a third defense. Like, because you know what your guys are going to be, right? Like, sometimes you're probably going to be an established team that's not looking through the bargain bin for wide receivers. Use those roster spots to start stashing defenses.
And even if you have your stud defense, you're probably going to hold on. And you've got a guy, I don't know if I'm going to actually play him, then drop him and go pick up another defense. Play defense yourself defense. And keep, you know, whoever you're playing, or maybe the person, one of the next two people you could play in the next round, see what their issue is. Oh, they're going to probably have to stream a defense. Let me go pick one up for that week then. Like, it's layers, folks, layers. This is a cake. It's an onion. It's an ogre. There are layers here you have to look through.
Oh, that actually reminds me. I meant to bring this up at the top of the show. I forgot. We'll close on this. Brian, if you are going to be eliminated and like out of playoff contention, what is your thoughts on in fantasy? What is your thoughts on using waivers and fab to get players for the consolation bracket? Are you someone that kind of like holds off, lets the contenders get their first choice and then you go in afterwards? Or are you like, listen, I got fab to spend, I'm spending it?
I guess my opening comment on this, if there's no rule, all you're doing is complaining at this point. If you don't want the losers picking up the waivers, change the rule, I guess, is my biggest thing. So if people are doing
I like that.
Morals, whatever, I don't care. If that's happening against me, I won't like it, but I'm not going to say anything because it's not against the rules. Now, I think you should be playing for something as a Sacco Bowl, in punishment, a consolation bracket. There should be something you can play for so that it's not as shady for those losers to be picking up waivers. But no, I don't think the people who make the playoffs should just get an easy walk. Oh, Bijan went down and Tyler Algier's just sitting there. I don't think you should have an easy route just to picking them up because it's just two of you guys left or, four people left or whatever. Like, I think there's nuances to this and all how it lays out, but I do like the idea of maybe when waivers run, just the teams that are in the playoffs get those, and then free agency pickups can be to anybody. I don't hate that, but again, you got to make that rule. You have to make
that rule preseason. You can't make those rules, especially 100%. Just right now.
I've only been a part of one rule change midseason, and it was an oversight, and everybody agreed that, hey, let's change it. But outside of that, like, I am not a rule changer after the season starts. What about you? Waiver pickups or no?
No, I'm for the pickups, although admittedly sometimes I get a little down bad and I'm just like, let the other guys have it. But damn it, I'm playing for pride. And like you said, like a lot of the leagues, the leagues I have with friends, like damn right there's a punishment and I ain't living through that. So if there's no rules, I'm picking up guys. Like, sorry, you should have saved your waiver.
Yeah, you don't get to just not pick up handcuffs because there's not as many people picking up players. Nope, you missed out. Now, am I going to be spiteful and picking them up just so they can't have them, even though I have no intention of using them? Probably not, unless it's my little brother's.
No, I don't play out of spite.
But family, there are no rules when it comes to family.
All is fair.
All right. Exactly. Awesome, man. Let's get out of here. We got to get ready. Folks, we are going to have still your regular scheduled episodes coming to you each day this week, but with a little Wicca Wicca remix. That's right. We're going to change it up.
What?
Mario and I still dropping the Friday episode to you, but instead of going through our game-by-game start-sit style, we're going to touch on each game maybe in a 30 to 60 second just to kind of give you the overview of the game, and it's going to be more of a start-sit, kind of like the deep dive that Jay and I do on our second episode. So get ready for that. If you are in the playoffs, we're going to be talking about all those different combinations, probably get into a little guillotine conversation for a little bit too, just on how to really structure those lineups. But get ready. It's going to be a lot of fun. Mario, what else you got for the people?
What do I have for the people? Well, thank you so much for listening, as always. And if you want to find more of me, you'll find me on Twitter at Mario Adamo Jr. You'll find me here. Of course, you're listening to this podcast, but you also find me on the Sit Start pod that Brian already alluded to, but those drop Friday mornings. Jump, get your weekend started listening to Brian and I. And if you want to listen to more Brian, he can tell you where. So Brian, where?
Yeah, everything I have is going to be rung up through my Twitter account at @too_much_Brian. You can find me there. Find all the other shows I do, whether it be my other football podcast or the movie podcast. But folks, we cannot thank you enough for being here with us. It's QBList.com for all of the streaming articles, the buy sells, the what we saw, the start sit. It's all coming to you by the amazing writers we have here at QBList. So like, subscribe. We'll see y'all next time.
Yes.
Later.
I meant to. Where's the line? I was gonna.